Hey, I'm Scott Hansman, and it is Azure Friday, and I'm here with Karan Bhatia, and we're talking about Azure Batch.
That's right.
Now, specifically, Azure Batch as it relates to rendering, like 3D modeling and
rendering? That's correct, yeah. So a lot of people refer to rendering as something in movies and gaming, but you know, where we're talking about rendering as a whole, so we're talking about specifically 3D modeling, but it can be used in different verticals, right? So rendering is a vertical in itself, but within rendering, we have so many different industries. So we've got things like advertising and genomics, and we've got, of course, media and entertainment. So every movies that you see out there, trailers, advertisements.
Now, when I did rendering in high school and college, I would do a lot of work in modeling, and I'd fire off a render and then go to lunch.
That's right. That's right.
Or go to sleep.
Yeah.
And it would go for hours and hours and hours. If I'm going to do rendering in Azure, how much faster is it than me just buying a really fast machine?
Right. What we want to do is we want to provide a framework. We don't want to set essentially context things. So we don't want to say that it's going to cost you this much. The choice is completely up to you. We provide essentially a framework to say, all right, here's your workload. So here's my model, here's my textures, my lighting, and all this other stuff. And what I want to do is I want to render it. I have this much money. How much can I render for this much? Versus, all right, I don't care about money. I want to render it as soon as possible so I can just go blast out as many machines as I possibly can and scale it all out, right? So Azure is this thing that potentially you can get lots and lots of cores and you can scale out as much as you want.
Okay.
And when we talk about Azure Batch, we really mean hyperscale, right? So we're talking big studios rendering big 3D movies and films that can, you know, scale out to 100,000 cores.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this isn't the, you know, I'm too cheap to buy a couple thousand dollar machine.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can. You can be that one student that's sitting in a garage and wants to do their school project for rendering, and great. It'll maybe cost you 10, 20 bucks to spin up a couple of machines that you can't afford to buy, right?
So those people are welcome. If you're watching this and you have a project and you need 10 cores for a couple hours, totally appropriate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you can go from, you know, that extreme of going 100,000 cores, 200,000 cores, and rendering a big movie or commercial project versus, you know, being a student or an artist or something like that, or a freelancer, for example.
Yeah. You got a couple of slides you were going to show us.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we kind of talked about what rendering is. And there's really two types of rendering here. So we have real time, which is something like Xbox, right? So Xbox, you don't actually go away and you come back and play your game. It happens on your console. There's a GPU card in your console that actually goes and renders that stuff. And that's something we can't use Azure for because it needs to happen real time. It needs to happen instantaneously. And that's why we have bigger and bigger GPU cards coming out that, you know, use that process.
Right, and the quality is limited to how many frames per second. Like,
that's
I need to get 60 frames a second, therefore the quality is absolutely bound by that requirement.
I mean, you have ups and downs, right? So you can have higher frames of higher frames per second, but then you can have lower quality, but then you can have lower frames per second, but have more photorealism there, right?
And that's why we see frame rates drop if we like move into the jungle.
That's right. There's a lot of happening, so maybe big crowds or something like that.
Okay.
And then the second type we have is the one that we actually are more focused on, which is something we can use the cloud for, which is pre-rendering. So we have things like movies, gaming, so pre-CG animated gaming,
cutscenes
and things like that. Or if you're modeling, you know, a road or a city or you're modeling architecture or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. And in Azure, does Azure know about rendering?
No. So that's what I mean, right? So you have this vast capacity. So you can essentially say that you have a personal render farm sitting in the back end. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. That's our premise here. Take your rendering workload and offload it. And what we want to provide is we want to help you kind of move over there. Mm-hmm. So we want to provide these logic, pieces of logic that essentially help you do that, right? So when I'm an artist, I know about making models. I don't really know this thing that's called a cloud, and I don't really know how Microsoft's connected or Azure is connected. We want to bridge that gap, and we want to provide you tools to essentially help you bridge that gap.
Yeah, I actually did a video recently in Camtasia. It's not 3D modeling, but it was rendering, and it was an hour-long video.
Yes.
And it took, you know, 2 hours.
Yes.
If there had been a way to simply say publish and then check in the cloud, put in my credentials, and have it take 5 minutes, I would have paid the couple bucks.
That's right. That's right. I mean, we've done tests before where, you know, buying a beefy GPU rig is going to cost you thousands of dollars, and then you render something and it's going to cost you 10 bucks, right?
Right. And so unless you're rendering 24 hours a day, you're not going to recoup that investment.
That's right. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then, so we have the offline and pre-rendering, which is what, we can help with. It's got a finite lifetime, right? So we know it's going to start at some point and it's going to end at some point.
Okay.
And then generally what happens in bigger studios, bigger or smaller individual studios as well, an artist is sitting on their desktop or their workstation. They have a licensed, package, something like maybe Autodesk Maya or 3ds Max. They're producing their stuff, and then what they do is they export those things into physical packages. Not physical, but they export them into packages, something along the lines of a zip file, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And that has all of those assets?
Yeah, so it has all those assets: lighting, texture, shading, reflections, all sorts of stuff, and they're perhaps using their application alongside multiple plugins. So maybe there's something that's providing them, hair reflections, or something that's providing them big amounts of crowds. Mm-hmm. So for example, Weta Digital, that produced the Lord of the Rings movies, they use something called Massive to produce large-scale crowds automatically. So they do that, they export it, and then it goes into sort of a rendering pipeline where it, is rendered multiple frames, it's rendered multiple times, and it does multiple passes on top of that, right? Mm-hmm. So first it adds some shaders, then it goes and adds some lighting, then it goes and adds the models, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And those can get quite complicated.
Very.
Add the crowds, maybe it's raining, and then you add light from multiple directions, maybe mm-hmm. they're on another planet, there's two suns, and these things get... They get composited into almost a Cartesian product of complexity.
Yes.
And what might take a couple of minutes to render a preview, it could take hours per frame.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, we've had, if you look at commercial projects out there, so take, for example, Pixar, Toy Story is very popular, or Cars, that single frame could take 5 to 12 hours. And if you think about that and you extrapolate that out, right, you got 30 frames or 60 frames a second, times 90 minutes, or maybe even 120 minutes for a full feature length movie, that could take a long time. Mm-hmm. And so this is where we want to help.
Right, and Toy Story was 20 years ago.
Yes, yes.
So now the question is, do I get those in minutes, mm-hmm. but that's 20 years ago quality, or do I take the quality to another level, like with shows like Home, mm-hmm. where even the hair, the complexity in the hair of the of Tip, the young girl,
that's right.
was a level of complexity that was...
Yeah, and I mean, in today's world, we have 4K now, right? So this is actually the opportune moment for studios that are actually looking out now. They're saying, okay, our on-prem studio, our on-prem clusters are no longer good enough for 4K rendering. We actually need to now make a decision. Do we go to the cloud, mm-hmm. or do we go out and buy, more infrastructure? And that's where, we want to talk about Azure Batch. Some people are saying, let's go to the cloud, or let's use a cloud to do our rendering. But what they don't realize is to actually build a service on the cloud is really, really, really hard.
Right?
There's a lot of things you need to do before you get on the cloud.
Right, and that's not even really there. That shouldn't be their core competency.
Like,
Are you good at modeling and making movies and great stories? Or are you now a cloud company? And
yes.
It's silly for a Pixar to be a cloud company.
Absolutely. We want them to deliver their application or their value. Their value is delivering that end product. Their customers don't pay them for building stuff on Azure. Mm-hmm. They pay them for watching a movie or building a movie, right? And so there's all that filler that needs to happen before they can even get to that point. And so there's things like, how do you get your application on the VM? How do you deploy reliably 10,000 VMs? How do you do that?
How do I get the scale up, scale down benefits of rendering something on Azure? Can you maybe show me a demo of how?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. So we have here application called Autodesk Maya 2015.
Okay.
It's a commercial application that you can buy for your PC. This is primarily the application that a lot of commercial artists use to create big 3D models and for movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this can be used alongside a lot of different renderers. So think of this as kind of like your Visual Studio, but then you have these other things, these extensions on top that you can use for rendering.
So, okay, so I mean, I would put it in the context of Photoshop, and I've yes. got all the different things that would plug in on top of that. So
yes.
this is the skeleton, the wireframe right. of what it's going to look
That's
like.
That's right. So this is your IDE, and then on top of that,
okay.
you can add things like renderers that are really good in doing one thing, or renderers that are really good in doing other things. So here we have just a test model. It's just a bunch of balloons. And on the bottom, you can see all the frames.
Okay.
And so what we're going to do is...
And this is the... This is being rendered using your local GPU, and this is the draft mode.
This is my model. I've already put my textures, my lighting, all my stuff on it. And so what we're going to do is we've actually built a plugin for Autodesk Maya. It's a native experience.
And I can see that they love high DPI.
That's right. High DPI.
Not working so well.
Not working so well there. Essentially, this plugin is built in Python entirely, and the actual API is open source, so you can actually go and download the library for it and actually make changes to it depending on what kind of render you're using.
Okay. Maybe you can hit Window Plus and see if we can zoom in just a little bit there and see get some sense of what's going on. Go ahead and bring the mouse
there
over to
go.
Here. So we've got auto provision a pool for this job. So this is a plugin.
Yep.
For Maya
yes.
to talk to Azure.
That's right.
So that the creative person doesn't think about these things.
That's right. So, you know, if I'm an artist, I only know about my application. My domain is my application, right? I don't know anything about this thing
right,
called
right.
Azure. So what I want to do is I want to say, okay, so this piece will do everything for me. It will submit my job. I can look at my history. I can look at my pools of machines. So this is my so-called render farm on the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can actually do a bunch of things. So here in this case, I can say, do I want to auto provision, meaning do I just want to submit my stuff and have you guys handle it?
Right.
So we spin up the machines, execute work, and then spin it back down. And so you only pay for what you use. That's the important thing. Or do I want to use an existing pool? So, you know, in Azure, when a VM starts, there's that startup time, right? So you pay for that. What if you want to submit multiple jobs, so maybe you want to keep that pool of machines up and running at all times, right? And then you'll shut it down whenever you need to. And then we have the render setting. These are something that's more specific to the renderer itself.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, we're using something called Arnold, which has been used for things like Halo and stuff like that, which is pretty cool. And so what Arnold does is it exports its own proprietary format to render, basically. And so mm-hmm. what we're going to do is instead of exporting now and then uploading terabytes of data. We've already got those that data in the cloud, and what we're going to do is we're going to actually reference those. So
that was my next question, because if you're going to be sending textures up and all this kind of stuff every single time,
yeah.
you're going to want to minimize the amount of data that's moving back and forth to and from the cloud.
That's right. So let me just grab a pool of machines that I have been running.
Okay, hit Windows Oops. Minus.
That's right, Windows minus.
So you have a pool ID there.
Yep, I have
so this is a pre-warmed pool.
That's a pre-warmed pool. So I started this pool up before our talk.
All right.
And essentially what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna reference this pool right here. So I'm gonna say, use this pool ID. And this pool is running 50 VMs. Nothing large, right? 50 VMs
You say that like it's nothing, but you work on that all the time. That's a lot.
That's right. That's a lot. But 50 VMs, they're extra large machines, so 8 cores
oh,
each.
Wow.
So that's 400 cores that are running at our disposal.
And let's start it up
yeah,
while
so,
you're talking.
That's right. So let me submit a job, and then I'll go through what's actually happening. So let's give it a name. And we're going to use existing assets. And so in our assets, we actually have to reference those assets. So what I'm going to do is... I'm going to add a directory of assets that have already been exported. This is kind of small, but
it is.
Maya unfortunately doesn't support high DPI just yet.
I anticipate people would be doing this on a 30-inch monitor.
That's right. That's right. They'd be doing it in a very massive, massive screen. All right. So there we go. So we've included that.
Window Plus again.
That's right. And then let me just include another file, which is the SGR map. So that's the background. So
okay.
SGR meaning is the background. So my balloons can't be floating around in a box of black. They need to actually have some stuff in there. So I'm going to actually select Sky SGR. So it's just a sky map.
Okay.
And then so I'll go zoom in again. And actually, I'll just go and submit this now. So in the meantime, what I'll explain is, so essentially what's happening is it's going to take...
Is there a dashboard that we can see while this
yes,
is happening?
Yes, absolutely. So so this is going to submit. Once it submits, then I can show you the dashboard.
All right.
So what this is going to do is, on the back end, it's actually calling to our Azure Batch API, and it's going to go, submit job, and here's my files. It will basically just hand over a list of files, and the logic in the back end, the server side, will actually know how to take those files and package them up and then use the Maya executable to run them on the
cloud.
I
see. So this Python-based plugin to Maya is made by us and plugged in there, and it looks like Maya and it behaves like Maya, so the person who's using it feels comfortable.
That's right.
And you've got the framework on the server side that understands Maya jobs and accepts them.
Absolutely. And so here we can see the first one on the top is called Azure Friday. That's the one that I submitted just now. And we can see that it's in progress. 0% what the task count is. So one of the things that I just did was I submitted a movie job. Mm-hmm. So it's frame 1 to frame 50. And so it's going to go and produce it's going to produce a frame for each task. And then one of the things that you see here is it says 51, not 50. And the reason for that is in our SDK, we give you an extra task at the end to do whatever your post-processing is. Mm. So we say, okay, well, do you want to merge those all together into a movie? And so we use FFmpeg in the back end to then merge all that stuff together into a movie.
So you've got 50 frames, 50 large VMs, one frame per VM.
Per VM. Yep.
And then is that going, that's at 0% right now. It's not marching forward. Is that going to go kind of all of a sudden?
Yes, that's right. So what's happening right now in the back end is there's this thing called a job splitter, which has the logic on how to split a job. So that's actually now running through its code and saying, all right, how do I take a Maya job and how do I split it up? Mm-hmm. Because all it's getting is, I want to render frame 1 to 50. How do I actually take that and split it up? How do I parallelize it, right?
Now, certainly 50 frames isn't a typical kind of thing that one would necessarily do. So presumably if I were doing something like the entire movie.
Yes.
That job would be something that would have thousands and thousands of frames.
That's right, thousands and thousands of frames. We've actually had a studio in Mexico produce a world's first 3D animation movie called Pepito. Pepito la Pecula is what they call it. And it's a 3D movie, and so they had to do several passes for it because it's 3D. And it's the world's first Azure, fully rendered movie in Azure.
Cool.
And it's a 10-person studio that can't afford a on-prem cluster, so they went to Azure, right? And so here's a dashboard that you can actually get alongside Batch. Hmm. We're actually moving this into Ibiza, so you'll have a better experience later on.
In the new portal,
but this is a separate portal that we provide in the preview right now.
Okay.
And you can see I've submitted that job, it's in progress. I can go into it. And then so this is kind of my admin experience, right? So here I can see things like all the tasks that are in progress or are being completed. So we can already see that there's 20 tasks being completed and there's still 31 in progress. And the reason why they don't complete all at the same time is because they have different complexity at different frames.
That's a good point.
Right? So if it's a blank screen, then it would be very quickly rendered versus...
Can you give me a general sense about how long this would take if you were trying to render it on your laptop?
If I was to render this on my laptop, it would probably take, so say, my laptop's probably, I think, a dual core. These are extra large 8-core machines. So I'd probably say about 10 minutes per frame times 50. So, you know, that's about 5-6 hours easily.
On your laptop?
On my laptop,
and
right?
And we're going to get this done in a few minutes?
In five minutes, right? And then, you know, 8-core machines, I think, are, I think under $1 an hour, I think. You can check the pricing online, but essentially, if you calculate it, it's going to cost you no more than $10, right? For spinning
it up. To save you many hours. Nearly 5 hours,
right? And the good thing here is I can go back and start working on my model again. My machine is not tied up.
That's another really valid point.
Right? So if I was rendering on my machine, which is pretty beefy by itself, I'm stuck. I can't use my machine anymore. But I've offloaded my work to Azure. Now I can go and resubmit another job.
Now, in the interest of time, since this is a short show, do you have a render result?
Absolutely, yes. So I can show you another one that's actually already submitted previously.
And maybe we can just look at that render as we wrap up.
Yeah. So here we go, 52 completed. Mm-hmm. So let me pick a task and show you a task output. So this portal will provide you literally everything. It'll provide you
each individual piece of the task.
Each individual piece of the task.
Look at that. So there's one rendered.
There's one render, right? And so you can see it's not very high quality in the interest
of
time.
It's a preview.
It's a preview. Yeah, well, yeah. it's the actual frame, but we haven't rendered like HD or anything like that.
Oh, I see. You did a low res frame.
That's right, low res frame. If we were to do HD, we'd be sitting here all day.
I see.
But or I could actually optimize and, you know, get
pay more money, get a bigger machine,
right? And then at the end, I actually have my job output here. So I can click on here. I can look at my MP4 that I've produced.
Oh, and execution time 5 minutes.
Execution time five minutes. Yeah. There we go. And so it's a 2 meg output that I can have a look at. So there we go.
That is complicated.
So you can imagine, right? So the first frame here doesn't have a lot of balloons. It's going to render very quickly. But then when it kind of gets filled up, it's going to actually take a little bit more time.
Very cool. And anybody can do this, right? This isn't just for high-end movie studios.
Nope.
People who are watching can work on this themselves.
That's right. So you can do it with, I mean, you know, if you've ever watched TV and you've watched things like a commercial with a car going down a road, that's actually not a real car. That's an advertisement built in 3D, right? If you've gone to a car dealership and you've seen a brochure, that's not a real car that's been photographed. It's a model. You know, anything in advertising, gaming, media, architecture, illustrations. So if people are, you know, doing visions and illustrations, anything like that is all 3D rendering. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we are questioning reality and learning all about rendering in Azure Batch here on Azure Friday.